is indicative that the wise men were probably Gentiles. Now, I know someone might take issue and say, well, they could have been Jews that had been dispersed, and they saw the star and came looking for Jesus. Well, I don't want to fight with you, but I do want to indicate that the question that was posed is, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now, in that phrase, there are some things that I would have us to take note of. Number one, the question is posed, where is he? And then that he is king, that he is born a king, and that he is the King of the Jews. Amen. It is indicative that he is somebody. And because he's somebody, wise men still seek Jesus. Amen. Wise men still seek Jesus. I would also have us to take note when we read this, very oft times we want to lump two occasions together. We want to lump the shepherds with the wise men. Well, these are two different occasions. Amen. The shepherds came at his birth. The wise men came probably a year to 2 years later. Amen. It is not hard to figure that out, because the scripture tells us in verse 11, and when they were come into the house, well, there was not a house in the out there with the animals. And so Jesus is probably between 1 and 2 years old. Amen. But Matthew shows, and rightfully so, that people of all nations acknowledged Jesus as King of the Jews. But more than that, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Amen. And we who are his, we acknowledge his sovereignty. Amen. The coming of the Lord, the King, brings the kingdom near to the people. Thank you, Holy Ghost. But where is the King is a more in-depth question than it might appear on the surface. Amen. Number one, it speaks to legitimacy. Amen. The wise men came to Jerusalem, the capital of the kingdom of Israel, where the reigning monarch was Herod the Great. Herod reigned from 37 B.C. to 4 B.C. But Herod was a non-Jew. He was an Idumean who was appointed. And it would, I would have us to take note of that, because Herod was appointed. Jesus was born. Let me say that again. Herod was appointed. And you see, most of the stuff that we gravitate to now, it's appointed stuff. Amen. But only Jesus is born King. Amen. Whether you accept him or not, he is still King. Amen. But Herod was appointed King of Judea by the Romans. Herod gained control by military conquest. Jesus came to love us into his kingdom. Isn't that amazing? Amen. I'm not going to make you come in. I'm going to love you into the kingdom. Amen. He loves us so much that a wise person would want to gravitate to him. Amen. Amen. He loves us, amen, with an unconditional love. Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? You can't be too bad for Jesus. Amen. He loves you. Amen. And he loves you right where you are. But he loves you too much to leave you where you are. Amen. Only Jesus can see the best in all of us. Do you know that there are those who, if you don't like someone, you will always find the worst in them. Amen. And if it's somebody you like, they can't do any wrong. Amen. But Jesus loves us unconditionally. But Herod gained control, as we said, by military conquest. Herod, like many rulers of his day, was ruthless. He murdered one of his wives, three of his sons, his mother-in-law, his brother-in-law, his uncle. Amen. He wanted to ensure that he remained in control. Contrast that with the scripture says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Amen. Don't have to take it. He's just it. "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Yeah, yeah. But you know, when we ask where is the king, there are a number of kings that are prevalent in our time today. Amen. There is the king of commerce. Amen. The king of commerce. Amen. We're looking for the mighty dollar. Amen. Amen. Get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. Amen. We want it. Amen. Because we think a dollar will make us somebody. Well, I don't know. Have you checked the stock market lately? Amen. It's not about dollars. Amen. Then there's the king of greed. Never, Reverend, never have enough. Amen. You want whatever there is that somebody else has. The king of greed. And then there is the king of pride. Amen. Where is the king? Well, he's prevalent. Amen. The king of pride. But can I tell you something? Pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. But it amazed me how many folk want you to know who they are. Well, the truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, you can live here for 100 years. And after you pass away, it becomes who? Yeah. I usually like to give an illustration of that. Sister Rita Lynette Morgan Miller. If you take a bucket of water and stick your arm in that bucket of water, you are as important as the hole you leave in that water. Only thinking folk can get that one. Yeah, yeah, the king of pride. One of the sad parts is that the lowly Jesus does not influence us to take on his attributes. Amen. We feel like we gotta be somebody. Well, you're somebody in that you're in him. But your recognition comes from knowing that you are a child of the king. Amen. Aside from him, we're nothing. But you see, he has taken our sin and given us his righteousness, and so we're somebody because of him. But if you take him out of the equation, you're just another person. Hallelujah. And then there's the king of more. I want more and more and more. Amen. We never have enough. Amen. Amen. But I want us to take a look at the wise men. For the Bible said they came to worship and honor the king. Amen. When you worship the king of commerce, you only worship him as long as you're getting something for it. Uh-huh. But when you worship the king of kings and the Lord of lords, amen, you recognize that he is the one who is able to keep you from falling. He is the one who's able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Amen. It's only when you worship him that you are fulfilled. Amen. When you recognize who the King really is, our fulfillment comes when we worship the Almighty God. Amen. Does not matter what kind of car you drive. Does not matter the clothes you wear. Amen. For those things are transitory. But can I tell you something about my God? He is from everlasting to everlasting. And for those who don't understand, he's all points in between. Amen. When the Lord is in your life, he gives you a joy that the world didn't give you. And consequently, the world can't take it away. Amen. Even when your heart is broken, you can still say hallelujah. Amen. When it seems like folk are going crazy in Washington, you can say praise the Lord. Amen. I know where my Redeemer and my help come from. Amen. Where is the King that is the only wise God, our Savior? To this King be glory. Let me stop there. Be glory. Amen. You don't have to put glory on him. He is glory. Amen. That's who he is. He's glory and he's majesty. Dominion and power are his. Amen. And they are both now and forever. Do you not know that if you ascribe to the King of Commerce, it might last a while, but it's not going to last forever. Amen. Amen. It goes up and comes down. Amen. But the God that I serve, amen, he's always on time. Have I got a witness? Now, I want you to take note that these wise men came looking for the King. And when they found him, they presented to him gifts fitting for a king. Amen. If Jesus is your king, do you present to him gifts that are fitting for a king? Amen. Do you give him a life that is totally his? Do you recognize his lordship? Do you let him rule over your life? Or is there a part of your life you hold back for yourself? I don't know about you, but the God that I serve sits on the throne. And if he's on the throne, I can't be. Oh, y'all not getting this. If he's on the throne, I can't be on the throne. Amen. There can only be the one king. And if I say, where is the king? He's on the throne, but he's on the throne of my heart. Amen. But they presented him gifts fitting for a king. Amen. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. When we think about frankincense, amen. Amen. It's in preparation for incense. It's that beautiful fragrance that comes that is so aromatic that it can fill the house. Let me ask you, when you come into the Lord's house, is there that free, sweet fragrance of the Holy Spirit in your life? Amen. Can people tell, amen, when you come in that you know the Lord? Amen. It ought to be that I know. And somebody ought to be able to tell that I know by the lifestyle that I live. Amen. Amen. Myrrh, valuable for its perfume and anointing oil. But it was also for the preparation for burial. Amen. Are you presenting myrrh to the king so you can bury self? Amen. That you're not the ruler. He is. Where is the king? God has made known the riches and the glory, amen, of the king. Amen. There is the mystery among the Gentiles, the hope of glory, which is Christ in you. Talk about the king. The king is residing on the throne of your heart. At least I hope so. If you know him, you live like you know him. The Bible says the hope and guarantee of realizing the glory is in the recognition of where is the king. Amen, amen, amen. When I talk about the king, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Hallelujah. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us. That's you and me, folk. The ministry of reconciliation. Where is the king? Can you see him in the lives of those who say they are believers? Mm-hmm. Amen. The wise men travel thousands of miles to see the king of the Jews. And when they finally found him, they responded with joy, worship, and gifts. As we enter into this Christmas season, can you pose the question, where is the king? Well, if you know where he is, amen, he's sitting on the throne in glory. Amen. The Bible said he's seated next to his Father. Amen. If you know that, then are you worshiping him in spirit and in truth? Amen. If they travel miles to find the joy that comes from his presence. And the Bible said, in his presence, there is the fullness of joy. See, somebody not getting this. Amen. You come to church and you appear that you've been sucking on sour lemons. But when you come into the Lord's house, there ought to be a joy that you have, because you know that you're in the presence of Almighty God. Somebody said, how do I know? Because this joy that I have, amen, it causes me to want to praise him. I get a very bad case of the I can't help it. Amen. I'm not willing to be put into anybody's box, but I come in to praise him. Amen. And you can't tell me to be quiet, because the more you tell me to be quiet, the louder I'm going to get. I'm going to tell somebody about the king. Somebody said, well, how can you tell them about the king? I'm glad you asked. How different it is today that when people approach Jesus, they come to him for the wrong reasons. We come to God looking for him to give us a handout. And those wise men came to Jesus because they wanted a joy that the world didn't give them. They wanted to be able to praise him because of who he is. I don't know about you, but we want to praise him because of what he gives to us. There are too many of us that are seeking his hand instead of seeking his face. I don't know about you, but I want to seek his face. I want the king to smile on me. Do you know him? Have you tried him? When the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when he smiles on you, everything is all right. It does not matter what's going on in the world. The God that I serve will make everything well. Where is the King? I'm glad you asked. Everywhere you look, you can see him. Have I got a witness? I see him in our young children. As they grow up and they want to praise him, they might not know all the words to use, but they know that there's something about serving him. Have I got a witness? When we say, where is the king? I want you to know that he's at friendship. I don't know about what's going on in other churches, but I want you to know that at friendship, Jesus is Lord. And he is king. Jesus is the only one that stands by us. When the going gets tough, he will stand by you. Somebody said, I love to hear Hattie singing. When the storms of life are raging, he will stand by me. Do you know him? Have you tried? Where is the king? The king is on the throne, where he's always been. The king is not at Macy's. Go ahead, preach, preacher. The king is not at the Lexus dealership. You might not be able to go in and get a new Lexus 300.
but the God that I serve. When you see your need might be a temple. Go ahead and preach, but God gives it to you. Everything is all right. I can get where you can go. In your Lexus 300, I can take my Ford Tempo and get me in the same place. The thing that makes me happy, where I get my joy, is not in what I drive, but who lives in me. There's something about the King when he comes in. He's not a partial leader. He wants to have total control. Do you know him? Have you tried him? He's the Lord of all. And the Lord said, if I'm Lord of all, I'm going to rule your life. And if I don't rule your life, I'm not Lord at all. But we can't separate the Lord from his kingship. He's a king over all kings. When I think about kings that have existed in this world, they are gone on to try the realities of a world unknown. But the King of Kings is still on the throne. He woke me up this morning and started me on my way. How do I know that the King reigns? I stopped by to tell you, because that's the wise men. They can tell you that the King lives. Have I got a witness here? For the Bible said they were guided by a storm. Let me tell you about a storm. To talk about the storm, David. Well, let me tell you about the storm that shone in the mystic skies. God is a good God, worthy to be praised. He gave a storm to take the men to a storm. The Bible said they were led by a storm. And when they got to where Jesus was, they stopped over this house. Have I got a witness here? Lord have mercy. When they came to Jerusalem, they went into Herod, and the Bible says the star stood over them. But when they got through talking to Herod, Herod says, when you find him, bring me word. I want to worship him. But you see, Herod had already killed so many folk, and he was going to kill anybody that rose up against him. But the King of Kings said, I'm not trying to kill you, but I want you to be part of my kingdom. He came that you'd have life and life more abundantly. But the Bible said when they left from the palace at Herod's, the Bible said the storm took them over where Mary and Joseph lived. When they went in the house, I like to tell folk, they went in the house, for you see they were no longer in the field, no longer out there with the animals. They were in a house now, but God says, I know where you are, and I want to leave this message with you. There are those that friendship that God told me to tell you, but when you go out, you know you want to party hardy, but I know where you are, but I can see you wherever you are. And I got a witness here, but go ahead and preach. I feel like preaching now. The Bible says we ought to be able to live a consecrated life. Let me see how he put it. He put it this way. Be ye holy, for I am holy. We serve a holy God. But you see, there are some folk. I want to go to a big church because I can hide in the numbers. Nobody knows me when I go to Las Vegas. But I got a lesson for you. There is a God that sets high, but he looks low. He knows our every move. Have I got a witness? He even knows the hair on your head. Hallelujah. He can make it even more plain than that. to the scene. He knows everything about you. Nothing can be withholding from him. Where is the king? Is he living in your life? Can anybody recognize the king in your life? When I talk about the king, who is the king? Glad you asked. He's Job's horse and Paul in the valley. He's Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of a wheel. How did he get there? I'm glad you asked. He was born in Bethlehem. Yeah. And I got a witness. Joseph took him to Egypt that it might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt, I called my son. He grew up, but the Bible said, and he gained favor with men and God. Have I got a witness here? The Bible says he was answering and asking questions at the age of 12. That is a strange thing. Oh, I feel like preaching. It's a strange thing. After 12 years old, we don't hear anything from him until he's 30. Have I got a witness? He closed up the carpenter's shop. I'm talking about the king. He closed up the carpenter's shop. Walked miles to Jordan. And the Bible said that John the Baptist, looking up, saw him coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So he's not only a lamb, but he's also a king. He's not only a king, but he's also a lamb. He's the lamb for the sacrifice. He's the lamb. And I got a witness that was a sacrifice for Isaac. The Bible said at 30 years old, he began his public ministry. I don't want to run you through 3 years and 6 months, but the Bible tells me at the close of his ministry, he told his disciples, "I'm going in to Jerusalem. I'll be killed by the high priest, but I want you to know in 3 days I'm going to get up." Cross on his shoulder. Where is the king? He's on Calvary. Where is the king? They took him down from Calvary, put him in a borrowed grave. Where is the king? The Bible said, early Sunday morning, the king got up with all power in his hand. Where is the king? He tabernacled him for 40 days. Where is the king? He took his disciples as far as the Mount of Olives. Where is the king? Look at him now. He's beginning to ascend into heaven. Where is the king? Look at him. If you want to see the king, you gotta look up. And I gotta witness him. So many folk can't see the king. You're looking down. You're looking around. The king is coming. And I got a witness here. How do you know? The king told me to tell you, as he took his disciples as far as the Mount of Olives, he stepped on a cloud and headed back to glory. The Bible said that there were the disciples that had followed him from the lake of Gennesaret. Their hearts are heavy, they're shedding tears. And Jesus, the compassionate Savior, called an angel down, said, "Come down. Go tell them the same Jesus
You see going away, but he's coming back. He's coming back. Y'all don't hear me. We live like they lived in the time of Noah. But I got a message for you. He's coming back. One of these old days. Where is the king? He's sitting on the throne. One of these days, he's going to get up off the throne with his long, lean Galilean leg over a flaming white horse. Come down from the heavens. Where is the king? He's on his way back. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for those that know him. Those whose robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You say, I don't wear a robe. Yes, you do. All of us have a robe of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
He's coming back. Where is the king? Hope is on you in your life. Where is the king? He's residing in the hearts of those that know him. But the good news, when he comes back, whether you are alive or you are asleep, you're going to meet him. And the thing that I love about it, hallelujah, y'all got to excuse me.
Help yourself.
The Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Yes.
And in brotherhood, they were saying, well, how come the dead in Christ don't get up first? What if they're to meet those who are walking around? They're sleeping 6 feet under the terra firma. So they got to get up first to meet them that are walking around, because they got 6 feet further that they got to go. Somebody gonna get that tomorrow. And then, the Bible said they will all be caught up ever to be with him.
Yes.
You don't have to then ask where is the king, because the king is going to be with you. Hallelujah.
The
question, my brothers and sisters, is can the world see the king in you? If they ask you, where is the king? Don't tell them, come to church. Amen. Because you take the church with you. Amen. They ought to see the king in your life. If they can't, tighten up. Tighten up. Tighten up.
Come on, man. Amen.
Said this and I'm done. There are too many social Christians. Amen. Now, what's a social Christian? I chuckled last night. We were at a birthday dinner for Pastor Blake, and they had a bar that they normally use for a cash bar, and I thought, I sure hope this ain't what it looked like. It was. They were dispensing soft drinks. But one of the problems that we have as Christians, we have an event, and we think we've got to satisfy everybody. So you know what we say? We have a cash bar. Now, if you don't know what a cash bar is, you're all right. But I think most of us know what a cash bar is. Now, you say, well, Brother Pastor, what's wrong with having a little nip every now and then? Well, because the Bible says, who has redness of eyes? Who has wounds without cause? And then it answers, he that tarries long. Go ahead and say it. At the wine. And then he says, and the mixed drinks. Hallelujah. Now, I know what you say. Don't hurt me. Nobody got up in the morning and said, this is the day I'm going to become an alcoholic.
Nobody said that. It just happens. But if you don't take the first one,
you don't have to worry about
that. All right, I'm done. Hallelujah. Where's the king? I hope he's at your house. I hope he's in your heart. I hope he's with you. The king is at friendship. May we stand. We shall extend the privilege to the church. Today is the day of salvation, not acceptable time. Come without money, without price. Oh, your sins be as scarlet. The blood that Jesus shed make them whiter than snow. How do we come to him? Just as we are. You can't get yourself right. He can fix you.